Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. A blessed Lent to you. I hope it continues as a blessed Lent. And look, if it hasn't yet really started for you, don't worry about it. Jesus will start Lent with you anytime you start it. And today we have a couple of wonderful Lenten hours for you. The second hour, Joe Heschmeyer will be here. You know, Joe from Shameless Popery will be here. And we're going to talk about, why should I believe in the Bible? And this hour, maybe we'll help you a bit with prayer in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can look at this from paragraphs 2725 to 2745. There's a section there titled The Battle of Prayer. And what better time than Lent to talk about engaging in the battle of prayer? That will be our topic this hour. If you have questions about prayer, particularly if you have questions about engaging in the battle of prayer, 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Monsignor John Syack. He's the pastor of Christ the King Parish in Milwaukee, Oregon. He holds a doctorate in dogmatic theology from the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome. He's the author of a couple books about Balthazar and anxiety, and the co-author of The Catholic Guide to Depression from Sophia Institute Press. And prior to his arrival there as to take up the pastorship of Christ the King Parish, he served at the Vatican as an official of the Congregation for Bishops and as a papal master of ceremonies for Pope Benedict XVI and Pope Francis. I tried to get him to tell me which one was the good pope and which one was the bad pope, but he wouldn't tell me before. He seems to think they're both good popes. Monsignor John Syack, thank you for being with us.
Welcome. Thank you. It's been great to be back on the show.
So the battle of prayer, first of all, if I could just start there, what does that mean, the battle of prayer?
Battle of prayer. I think most of us, if we've attempted anything in the Christian life, we soon realize that when we go to pray that it's not always easy. It's not just everything's going fine all the time. In fact, we can come up against obstacles. We can come up against difficulties, dryness, and all of that. And so the Catechism, the Church, and our spiritual tradition can characterize prayer as a battle.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number. If you have questions about prayer, I'll tell you what, you don't have to be Catholic. Everybody should be praying. Most people are praying. And if you have a question about prayer, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. So what are the tools for engaging in this battle then? It's not swords and shields, and you describe the battle, but what are the tools for engaging in it?
Yeah, so the Catechism will outline a few things for our consideration. One is about, first of all, we just need to set aside the time for prayer. For a lot of us, that's a primary battle, is just to do it. And there's no other solution for that than prioritizing our time and making this time to pray. And I'm a big fan of, you know, we want to pray all the time, but we do need to give some part of our day where we give the Lord our undivided attention. Right? Hopefully we're praying, you know, while we're driving, we're praying, you know, before tests, we're praying at the supermarket, whatever, at work, whatever it might be. But we want to carve out a little bit of time each day to give the Lord our undivided attention. That can be the first battle, is battling against the worldliness that we live in and the noise that is constantly flooding us, and even our own restlessness.
Yes.
You know, that we tend to be restless in the world today, and all of that can be a struggle, you know, to be able to just sit down and pray.
Maybe I'm confessing to you now, I don't know, but even praying at Mass, sometimes it's hard to get, like you said, you know, devote your attention, give God your full attention for a while. And you can often get, even all the way through the Eucharistic prayer, and think, sorry, Lord, I didn't, I meant to, but I didn't.
Well, if it's any consolation to our listeners, we priests have that difficulty too.
Father. I don't want to hear.
it's interesting because, you know, part of who we battle in our prayer is the evil one. And it's unbelievable when a priest goes to say Mass, and other priests will say this as well, is that the flood of distraction that comes into the mind when we want to give our undivided attention to the Lord. And distraction is part of that battle. And so people can say, like, well, what do I do in distraction? It seems like my mind can't focus. And what I encourage people to do is if you notice that distraction, what you want to do first of all is to gently bring your attention back to the Lord in your prayer. What you want to avoid is getting down on yourself or getting frustrated, because that actually increases the agitation, increases the restlessness of our prayer. So is getting into the habit of the gently bringing your attention back to the Lord. And if your whole prayer time is like this ping-ponging, you know, Lord, I'm paying attention to you. Lord, I'm distracted. Lord, I'm paying attention. I'm distracted, paying attention, distracted. That's good prayer. In fact, the Lord finds it immensely pleasing that we would turn our attention back to him when we're distracted. And so we want to maintain our calm, maintain our peace. And it's kind of a way to build humility. It's like, you know, Lord, gosh, here you are, the good God who loves me unconditionally and infinitely, and I can't pay 30 seconds of attention to you because my mind wanders. Right. I was like, well, okay. We're poor creatures. We're beloved poor creatures. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us. You know, the Lord assured us that in Scripture. The Holy Spirit will pray within us if we ask for that help. And so that's another thing to keep in mind, too, in the battle of prayer is that, you know, whatever desire I have to be with the Lord, his desire to be with me is infinitely greater. And so his desire for us to be with him in prayer is never diminished, never lacking. It's always perfect and full. And so he's going to help us to enter into the prayer if we let him.
Again, Monsignor John Syack, our guest this hour, we're talking about the battle of prayer. It's a perfect time to talk about the battle of prayer right now as we approach the midpoint of our Lenten struggles. Maybe it's a struggle for you to pray. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. So, Monsignor, there's also a little battle that goes on before you even get to prayer. Because as you said, you know, set a time. I finally, like in my 50s, started to believe the people who said set time apart for this. And then I can be very easily persuaded by myself, I guess, that I there's no time today. I've got to just skip this time and I've got just whatever. The conversation goes on in the head. So I feel like it's a battle even to get to it.
Right. That's a very common thing that happens. So I go to pray, and all of a sudden there's like three things that present themselves to my mind that I have to do right now, that it should really get done. It didn't happen before, but it's happening now. And that's, that can be, from our enemy, the enemy of our human nature, who doesn't want us to pray and will present other goods as a way to try to substitute, you know, that for the prayer. And if we give in to that, well, then what happens is that prayer time evaporates, and I may have accomplished something, but it wasn't prayer. It wasn't the one thing that I wanted to do. And so we really have to, in the battle for prayer, we really need to exercise ourselves against those things, the temptation not to pray, the anxiety that, you know, I mean, sometimes we even have to just tell ourselves, listen, it's going to feel like I'm just going to waste this time right now. I'm just going to burn it up for the Lord. And sometimes that's what we have to do to get ourselves, you know, to pray. I myself am more trained in the Ignatian way of prayer. And in that way of prayer, what's really big is kind of trying to be consistent at a time and a place to pray. That if we have that we want to go to the same place, if I'm going to do that dedicated time with the Lord, maybe I have a place in my house that I can go to. And there's something about that familiarity and consistency that helps the intention and follow through to pray. And in fact, Ignatius even says when we go to pray in a place that we stand next to that place for the span of an Our Father in a way to intentionalize what I'm going to do. And I found that having done the 30-day retreat and doing that, you know, every day for the 30 days, I found it immensely helpful for when I go into that place to pray, that it's actually I'm more focused because I took that moment, not instead of just falling into prayer. It's like I take that brief moment and to make it more intentional. Yeah. And it does help.
The saints, man, they really know some stuff, huh? They that Ignatius knows a lot about prayer. That's an amazing little piece of advice and help there. Monsignor John Syak, our guest. I am going to get to phone calls when we come back. 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. I want to warn you, though, before I get to those calls, I'll mix and match here some of my questions, but two questions I know that people ask a lot. One, we're a married couple. It's uncomfortable to pray together. How do we pray together? And two, I don't know what to do in adoration. I don't know what to do when I go and sit with the Lord. So can you come up with some brilliant answers between now and the time we come back?
Absolutely.
All right, I appreciate
that. I'll give it my best shot.
Okay. 888-318-7884, the number. We're talking the battle of prayer this hour. Also, I'll let you know we've got the store-wide summer. Nick thinks it's so funny when I do that. Every season, I at least once a season say store-wide summer sale. It's just a store-wide sale. That's all it is right now. But let's call it a store-wide Lenten sale. All of our books, CDs, DVDs, MP3s, ebooks, everything. It's on sale 10 to 25% off. In some cases, more than that. A great time to stock up on Catholic resources for your Catholic library. Visit us right now at shop.catholic.com. Hi, this is Cy. The latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available right now. This week, we talk with Father Hugh Barber about the Catholic Church and the coronavirus. Yes, all your questions about Eucharist, bishops, and quarantines answered from the Catholic perspective. Here's a little sample.
The microbe that has the disease that's on the host is something different from the host itself. I mean, we're talking about reality here, all right? And so the risen, glorious body of Christ is not capable of giving anybody an infection because it's just a source of good, you know?
Yeah.
But the outward sign, which is for us now, but which also passes away, could be subject to those things. That's why they even had that practice at the Papal Mass. They checked, like all sovereigns in the old days, and even now, presidents and whatnot, they probably have testers in the kitchen to make sure that things aren't, you know, poisoned. They have to be very courageous.
Wait, you don't? You don't have a tester?
Oh. No, I don't. I don't. No. I would assume that no one's trying to kill me.
I'd be happy to be your tester, though. I'd be happy to taste all your food before you get it.
You can hear the rest and get past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul's Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith, and Catholic Radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and Darren has been doing a nice job of scheduling some Lenten things this Lent, and so Lent is a struggle. It's meant to be a struggle, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get going again, and part of the struggle of the Christian life is what the Catechism of the Catholic Church calls the battle of prayer, and here to help us be well-equipped for the battle of prayer is Monsignor John Syak, former Master of Ceremonies for two popes. And I because it might have sounded a little weird when I said, who's the good pope and who's the bad pope, it's in reference to that movie, The Two Popes, that I watched. And they seemed to feel that Benedict was not a good pope, I guess, would be the way to say it. It seemed biased against him.
Yeah.
So, but you know both men, and so was that movie extremely accurate?
It wasn't accurate much at all. Yeah, I tell people it's like that. I think I read George Weigel's review and Bishop Barron's review, and I thought they were pretty good reviews in terms of how to interpret the film.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you kind of more of just using the bishops as a, I mean, using the popes as a kind of types rather than.
Right. I mean, Netflix was telling its story.
Yeah. I had those two questions for you, but I do want to give callers a chance. So we'll get to callers and then I'll mix in my questions.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with Maria in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on channel 130 Sirius XM satellite radio. That's EWTN on Sirius satellite radio. Maria, your question for Monsignor John Syak.
Yes. I wanted to know, when you're trying to listen in prayer, how do you differentiate that it's the Lord speaking to you versus your own musings or internal thoughts?
Very, very good question, Maria. The one word answer for this is discernment, right? That's when we talk about spiritual discernment, that's what we're doing. We want to be able to distinguish the Lord, the voice of the Lord, from my own voice. And also we have to throw in there the voice of our enemy, who also tries to push into our prayer. And the great teacher of this is St. Ignatius and the rules of discernment. The good news is that we have a great source in the United States, Father Timothy Gallagher, who has written an excellent book on this called Discernment of Spirits. And what I like about his books is they're not very long books. And he gives lots of examples and explanations in there to help us to begin to interiorize what's called Ignatius's first set of rules, and there we can be taught by our spiritual tradition how to begin to distinguish. But let me give you just a quick answer on the voice of distinguishing the voice of the Lord and the evil one, and that is a very common struggle that people have, myself included, sometimes is discouragement. And let me just be real clear about this, and our spiritual tradition is very clear about this. Discouragement is never from God, ever. Never, never, never. Even if I'm in mortal sin, the voice of the Lord is the voice of encouragement to repentance and to move towards Him. And one of the things to keep in mind, too, is that if a thought presents itself to me in prayer and think, wondering if it's the Lord or something else, well, we consider it's like, well, where will that thought take me? Take, for example, that thought of discouragement is like, oh, well, you know, who do you think you are trying to get close to the Lord? Remember X, Y, and Z from your life? And inside there might be some woundedness. And what can happen is our interior woundedness can make us think like the false reasons that the evil one gives us are compelling, right? That kind of keys into our woundedness. But if I follow through on that, what does that mean? Well, it means I'm not going to pray. I'm going to be sad about praying. I'm going to be, and like you stop me, like, well, wait a minute. I want to pray. The Father wants me to pray. The Holy Spirit wants me. So where is this coming from? And we can unmask that as, yeah, that's definitely from our enemy who doesn't want us to move towards God or wants to weaken our movement towards God. And so that's kind of those basic things that we want to just keep in mind. But the big thing is we want to avoid discouragement. And when that discouragement happens, we want to push against it. We're not just supposed to take it. We push against it. And then that's a lie. In the name of Jesus, go away. I don't believe you. And we turn to the Lord and ask for His help.
What do you make of that, Maria?
That's very good. Can you give me the name of that book again by an author, the discernment book?
Yeah, Father Timothy Gallagher.
Father Timothy Gallagher.
Discernment of Spirits.
Yes, that's very good. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Martina.
You're welcome.
We're talking about the battle of prayer this hour with Monsignor John Syak. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. If you have a prayer issue, whether you're winning the battle or losing the battle, your questions are welcome here. Look, if you're fighting the battle, you're winning the battle. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Martina in Meridian, Ohio, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Martina, your question for Monsignor John Syak.
Hello. Yes, I just, you know, I am in Idaho.
not in Ohio.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
They all sound the same, you know?
You know what? The note says Idaho. I want to make sure that I say that. They gave me the right. Apparently, I said the wrong state. I apologize.
Just close to me in Oregon.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Hi, Monsignor. You know, what I wanted to do was reflect on some things, actually, rather than a specific question right away, was to reflect on some things that I do that help me not to be distracted when I pray in, during church and mass, whatever it might be, and whether that be when I first come in, whether it's during the communion prayer, et cetera. What I do is I cover my face with my hands like I'm praying with open hands, but I bring my pinkies together and leave a little space in there. And that causes, that happens for me to be able to really delve into that deep prayer with the Lord and not be a part of the distractions, whether it be people talking or cell phones on the pew or whatever it is, you know. And that bringing me to that place really helps me to be able to just quiet out all the distractions. And then the other thing I do is, if I have time, I do work, but I will go by my parish church and I'll actually go in when there's no one in here, and I really feel the presence and the quiet to be able to be more contemplative and be one with Him and in asking and presenting my prayers and talking to God.
Martina, that's let's get your comments on that, Monsignor, on
sure,
these practices.
I think the point that gets brought up that strikes me is it's important to go with what works. That we need to have a certain flexibility in our prayer and a certain willing. We don't want to be too pigeonholed in our prayer. And if we find something that works, go with it. It may not work for somebody else as well, but if it works, if it helps me to concentrate and to focus, absolutely. We go with what works.
Martina, thank you very much. If you have a question for Monsignor John Syak, you're welcome to call with your prayer question. We're talking about the battle of prayer this hour. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. All right, I'm going to get to some of my questions before I go back to callers, because I want the husband and wife one, especially for the couple where one spouse may be more enthusiastic for praying than the other. Mm-hmm. You have any thoughts about husbands and wives praying together?
Sure. I'm a big fan with married couples, is that it's important that each married couple cultivates their own individual spiritual life. But part of that is in relationship with their spouse. And so it's good to have that personal prayer life and then to have that prayer together. And yeah, it's, In a marriage, sometimes there's more enthusiasm from one spouse or the other, or perhaps a lot of times there's a willingness, but it's just hard. You know, if you get home from work, you got the kids, you know, to get ready for bed and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we want to go with what we can do. And this is, I think, another good tool to use in your battle for prayer, is pray what you can, not what you can't. And this is like, you know, I don't want to have this like expectation of like, my prayer needs to be this way, and I consistently fail at it, and then I get discouraged by it. It's like, no, I need to go with what I can do, and then let the Lord grow that. It's like a little seed. So we want to start from what, if I can only pray for 5 minutes, fine, that's where we start. If I can pray for 30 seconds, that's where we start. I think for couples in coming together to pray, especially if there's a family involved, the rosary is an excellent way to pray together. It's a very powerful prayer. You know, it's part of our tradition, and especially in family spirituality. You know, a chaplet of divine mercy, if you don't have as much time for a rosary, to do that. To go to adoration together, like even if you're not saying prayers together, just by being before the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament together, that's kind of praying, as you know, praying together.
Yeah.
So again, you kind of find what works with the temperament and the particular, you know, time of the marriage that you're in. I think that again, having that flexibility, praying again what we can pray, not worrying about what we can't pray, and whatever I can pray, then I give myself over to that.
Monsignor John Syak, our guest, 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about the battle of prayer. We have a free ebook on prayer that we'd like to give you, and you can get it just by going to shop.catholic.com. It's just called 20 Answers Prayer, and it's by our own Father Hugh Barber and Father Sebastian Walsh, both Norbertine priests. And we have never given away free one of these 20 Answers books before, but we thought, it's Lent, and we'd like you to have that in your hands. So if you'd like to follow up on the conversation that we're having today and have another source of information about what is prayer and how to pray, you can go to shop.catholic.com and download your free copy of the electronic version of an e-copy of 20 Answers Prayer. Shop.catholic.com, 20 Answers Prayer. Right back with more of your questions on prayer with Monsignor John Syak.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel, Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our number here. We're talking about the battle of prayer this hour. 888-318-7884. For a long time, I thought Jesus had made Lent too long. As a matter of fact, I used to discuss this with him. Like, you have clearly erred on the side of excess here. But as I get older, I think maybe he was right, because there is something about just sticking to it. There is something about the battle of prayer and doing your Lenten praying. Just stick to it.
Yes, and if we stumble and fall, we get back up and we keep going. And the beautiful thing about our life with the Lord is, so long as we don't give up, we will prevail.
Isn't
and he will
beautiful?
Prevail in us.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, we're guaranteed fruitfulness as long as we keep going.
You know, out of everything that Pope Francis has ever said, one sentence that he said is my absolute favorite thing, where he I don't remember, he was talking to the big crowd, and he said, God doesn't tire of forgiving us. We tire of asking his forgiveness. And it's the same with prayer. God's not going, oh my gosh, when are you going to get good at this? He's not tired. He's fine. He brings the same enthusiasm every day.
That's right. And he is so pleased at any attempt we make to pray.
Yeah. 888-318-7884, the number. We're talking the battle of prayer. 888-318-7884. I know I threw out that kind of tease question before, and a lot of people are waiting for an answer about praying in adoration? What am I supposed to do in adoration? Especially if I sign up for a whole hour, because they do that, you know, they make you sign up for a whole hour mm-hmm. in some parishes. Oh, what am I going to do for an hour without TV or snacks or anything? I'm just me and Jesus. What do you hear the panic in my voice? What am I supposed
exactly,
to be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. And for, we first go to pray too, that hour can seem very daunting. And even when we've been at prayer for a while, sometimes we just come to prayer and we're not focused and we're restless and we got concerns. So the thing to do when I'm in adoration is that I first of all place myself in His presence and try to simply to be aware of His presence and to be there with Him. And a really good way to be aware of His presence is looking at Him there in His real presence and starting to just let everything in my heart flow out to Him, but the concerns of the day, the things I'm worried about, here I am, and to just simply to be there in His presence. Now, there's a few things we can do. There's, you know, we can certainly pray devotional prayers or, you know, out of a prayer book. We can pray the rosary. We can maybe do some spiritual reading. But what I'm a big proponent of is to meditate with Scripture. And I think there's a very powerful combination of meditating with Scripture that really helps to deepen our spiritual lives. And what I have in mind here is the way Ignatius teaches us to pray. And that is, we want to go into the Gospels and we want to begin to read prayerfully, and we want to use our imagination, bring our senses to the scene, to put ourselves in the scene. You know, what do I see? What do I hear? What's the emotional quality of what's going on? Who's there? To put myself there, maybe, you know, around those other figures, or maybe I begin to identify with somebody in that scene. And all of this is to help facilitate the intimate encounter with Jesus Christ. And if we practice that using our imagination, it can not only help to bring the Scriptures alive, but it brings us into that vital contact with the Lord. And that's where he stirs our hearts, that where he interacts with us, or maybe as Our Lady or Saint Joseph or a saint or one of the angels. And really that experience in the meditation, especially if I'm doing it in front of the Blessed Sacrament, all that stuff of what goes on, that becomes the material for my discernment. And when I begin to hear what is the Lord saying to me, and to be able to distinguish that from again, the voice of our enemy.
It's striking to me when you talk about that, because I think many people are catechized, I guess, with a kind of Eastern mysticism attitude about prayer, about not having mm-hmm. images, about not having, and some of that comes just from the culture, I think, has embraced that since the 1960s, some of that transcendental meditation and all of that. And then,
sure.
And then certain monks from Massachusetts also encouraged people to have no images. It seems so much more wholesome the way you're describing it, and I feel like we've been talked out of it.
Well, I think what we have to remember is there's a uniqueness of Christian meditation, because prayer is a relationship. It's you know, like in Buddhism, as far as I understand it, is there's the point of the meditation is we want to transcend desire, we want to transcend attachments.
Yeah.
Whereas in Christian prayer, the meditation is actually to increase desire, increase love, increase relationship with of course with God, but of course everyone else who's connected with Him. And so our Christian meditation is filled with images because the Word took flesh and became one of us. You know, there's a sacramentality to our prayer that our Lord's incarnation after His resurrection, He doesn't undo it, right? For all eternity, He is at the Father's right hand as man as well, in His risen body.
Yes.
So there is images, you know, and we fought this heresy in the early church, in the iconoclastic heresy in the 7th and 8th century. So that there is, our prayer is filled with images. Now there can be a kind of prayer, more advanced prayers, when we go into some of the darkness in prayer and whatnot, where there's, that's, you know, not happening as much, but for the vast majority of us, you know, that as we're in our day-to-day prayer life, is I think Ignatius's path is a real accessible one, and one that really brings about a lot of fruit as well. And so to use our imagination and our senses that and it's not a head trip, because when I'm praying scripture, is that the Lord is bringing me to those events.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just some sort of head trip, you know, like if I imagine other things, like I imagine I'm, you know, a big rock star or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's not, you know, it's not true. But when I imagine, say, for example, the Jairus coming forward to Jesus and throwing himself down at his feet saying, come save my daughter, she's dying. And I can find myself there because I'm worried about somebody who's sick in my life. That's a real encounter. That's real. Even though it's going on in my imagination, I'm being brought to that event.
Man, so many calls, Father, and I apologize for keeping folks waiting. Cindy in Rochester Hills, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You are next, Cindy. Your question for Monsignor John Sihak.
Thank you. Did Jesus give his mother Mary the power to dispense grace and mercy?
Did you hear that, Father? Did Jesus give Mary the power to dispense grace and mercy?
Absolutely. Yeah. She because she is the one through whom he took flesh, is that she's vitally, she's right in step with him in his redemptive plan, and so many of our graces come through her.
Now, Cindy, does that help you out?
Oh yeah, that's what I've been doing all along. But then suddenly I was questioning that, and what I generally say is when I ask her for mercy and grace and strength for my husband who's been sick, I say through your son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, how beautiful. That strikes me as beautiful. Father, did you catch that? Oh, we got a little technical problem. Hang on. Cindy, thank you so much for your call. I do appreciate that call. I got to take we'll take a quick break anyways. It's break time, so we'll figure out why we're having a little hiccup here with Father. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Right back with more on the Battle of Prayer with Monsignor John Sihak right after this.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Got all the bugs worked out. Father, excuse me, Monsignor. I know it's okay to say Father, but I should be saying
Monsignor. Yeah, it's never wrong.
No, I know. I heard a bishop say that one time. Somebody asked, what am I supposed to call you? And he said, I've always liked Father. And I thought that was a very nice way for a bishop to address somebody. Jim in Cincinnati's next. Our topic is prayer, the battle of prayer. Jim is in Ohio, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Thanks for downloading the app onto your phone, Jim. Your question for Monsignor John Sihak.
Yes, thank y'all for taking my call. I have a question in regards to whenever we pray to the saints for our intercessions and we're asking saints or Mary or anyone to intercede on our behalf, seems I've heard it explained a couple of different ways, and I feel like the most recent explanation I received was that our prayer still goes to God, and then God would go to the saint and ask them to intercede on our behalf. And to me, that just seemed like an extra step and a little backwards, a little different than I've always understood it. So I was wondering if y'all could give me a clarification on that.
Sure, I'll give it a shot. Of course, you know, our prayer of worship is offered to the Lord, and all everything that He does, you know, is from His divine power, and so how He dispenses that is up to Him, and He has established His mystical body, the Church, then especially the Church triumphant in heaven, with the angels and saints, and they can be our intercessors, and we're not somehow. You know, giving a short shrift to God by praying to His saints and because He's the one at work in them as in our prayer. So, you know, to Our Lady especially, Saint Joseph, our guardian angel, all of those things that our prayers are, you know, it's this great constant flow to God and back to us Yeah, it's a joy to be in the mystical body, a part of this huge family, where we help each other out.
There is, I'm sure, Jim. There is a level of mystery here that we just. I mean, I imagine that might be part of why you get a lot of different explanations. Is that there probably are a lot of there's probably a lot of layers to this mystery that need to be uncovered. Is Monsignor's answer satisfying, or did you have a follow up?
No, I just, God bless the mystical body of Christ.
Amen.
And all the blessings He's bestowed upon us with our church and our faith, and I appreciate y'all's time.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
We're talking the Battle of Prayer. Monsignor John Syak, our guest, 888-318-7884 is the number. And I'll tell you what, if you dial now, we probably will get you in before the end of the show, 888-318-7884. Up next, Diane in Michigan, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130, EWTN on Channel 130. Diane, your question for Monsignor.
Hi, thank you. It's a two-part. I recently had a very difficult event happen in a significant relationship, and I don't hear God answering my prayers. There's no response, and I'm not used to that. And secondly, and the counselors have been telling me, you know, that I'm supposed to be focusing on the good instead of this bad thing that happened, and I feel like, well. But it's not the truth. I'm telling myself over and over and over again that I'm an astronaut, but that's not the truth. But eventually you come to believe that you're an astronaut if you tell yourself something enough. So I wondered if you could comment on that.
Sure.
For me.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm sorry about that event in your life, and that's there can be some real tough stuff that we deal with in life and that can kind of throw us a curveball in our prayer life. May I ask, when you go to pray, what would you say would be like a certain strong emotion that you would experience? Like, for example, say anger or sadness or anxiety?
Desperately sad.
Desperately sad. Okay. Yeah. And what I hear you saying is like, you know, I'm sad so when I go to pray. So why should I pretend that I'm not sad and I should just focus on the good things? What we want to do in our prayer, and that's because prayer is a relationship, is we need to be honest. And sometimes the difficult thing is being honest with the negative emotions. Like when I'm angry, may even be angry at God, or intensely sad because I've experienced a big grief in life and a loss, or an anxiety of some sort. I'm so worried, and those feelings can sometimes kind of overwhelm any sense that I have that God is there, that I'm feeling those emotions very intensely. What we want to do when we pray is we want to be ourselves, and if I am sad, I want to show the Lord my sadness. And I want to, you can even like, when you go to pray, you can even imagine your sadness as something. Is it like a, a stream of whatever from your own heart. Some people can characterize it as kind of like vomiting sometimes, or this kind of just get the sadness that's in my heart to get it out and get it into the hands of the Lord. Is that what we want to do in our prayers? We want to acknowledge the true state of affairs in our hearts, but not just to leave it there. We want to relate it. Like, Lord, I need you here with me in this sadness. And Jesus wants to meet us wherever we're at, and especially where we're hurting. And the same can be with anger. You know, it's not, even if I'm angry at God, I can show the Lord, like, I really am angry. And there's plenty of examples in scripture of, you know, fish shaking to heaven, and, you know, if we have to throw our little tantrum about the way life is and the way he's acting, or you dupe me, oh Lord, I let myself be duped, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what one way to do this with Ignatius is maybe go to the Gospels and go to that that gospel scene of the widow of Nain, you know, and there she's coming out of the city to bury her only son, which is her whole livelihood, and she's just, I mean, that is, it's hard to get lower than that at that time. And, you know, to imagine that scene, to put yourself in that scene with, you know, as this woman in her grief, and that's the place to encounter Jesus, right? He comes, and we don't necessarily have a script of how that's going to work out, but I want to be relating all of this to him in my prayer. And that Ignatian way of the use of the imagination with the Gospels can be a very effective way of getting that sadness into the Lord's hands. That being said, I just want to follow up, is that when we are when we have blows in life, that we don't want to be afraid either of using all the truth out there. You know, and this would kind of go into that, into the book, The Catholic Guide to Depression, is that, you know, the stuff that we can benefit from, whether that be from our doctor, from a therapist, and from prayer and the sacraments, is that we're Catholics, we're both and we use all of those things to help us move forward in life. And so we don't want to get into it like an either or ever of saying, you know, that I don't need this because I'm going to pray more. It's like, nope. Let's take it all. And whatever is helping, let's use it.
Diane, what do you make of all that?
I appreciate the thoughts, and I will continue to do that. I have gotten to a point where it's like, why should I pray? He's not answering me. He's not, like, I've gotten to the point where I know that God exists, and I know that he is merciful. I just am questioning if he's a personal God, because he doesn't seem to care about this event.
Yeah.
Right. I would just encourage you, Diane, is to take that right into your prayer. Is, Lord, I'm a little bit upset with you because I don't see you answering, and to keep it real. And to keep coming back. And this is the thing that Ignatius talks about being in desolation, is that desolation will end. It will end. That when we're in desolation, we feel like it will never end. We're made to feel that way. But what we want to do is, in a time of desolation, we actually want to intensify our prayer, and we want to push against the desolation, not to give into it, because that will make us give up the battle of prayer. And we want to hang in there and keep walking. And sometimes walking in prayer is simply following a trail of breadcrumbs. You know, we may only have the tiniest shaft of light, or maybe not even that, but just like, I'm just not going to give up. I'm just going to stay here, Lord, until you answer me. You know, that is kind of a bit like Job, you know, but we want to keep it real and hang in there.
Diane, God bless you. Thank you so much. I do want to get to other callers. I hope that that was helpful to you. I have promised that I would try to get everybody on, though, so I am going to keep moving. I know there are many people praying for you right now, Diane. And again, thank you for the call. Let's go to Bernadette in Napa, California. Hang on, Bernadette. I'll get to the button here. Bernadette, your question for Monsignor John Syak.
Okay. It might be a kind of a stupid question, but is it? Nobody ever prays to people that existed before Jesus came, like Moses and all of those, the prophets. Why is that?
Monsignor?
Yes. So the Old Testament figures, especially with our Eastern brothers and sisters, you know, in the Eastern rites, they're considered saints. So they're kind of grouped in there. In the Western Church, we don't have as much of that tradition on there. Perhaps with the Carmelites and Elijah, maybe a little bit, you know, more that way. But yeah, so they're grouped into the, you know, into that communion of saints as well.
So that's why we don't pray to them or ask them to intercede for us.
You could ask Moses to intercede for you.
Yeah, we can. It's just not as evident or as prominent, I should say, in the Western Church.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was just going to kind of sum up. It's just not a tradition that in Western Catholicism has developed as well as Eastern. Is that what you're saying, Monsignor?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we certainly believe Moses is a saint. Elijah is a saint. And Micah better be a saint. I'm just saying that. Come on. Micah's such a beautiful little book. So did you want to follow up with it? Do you have any more you wanted to follow up with? Bernadette?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just a quick comment for Diane, the lady that called before me. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't know how much time you have, but I was diagnosed with breast cancer last year, and I was... You know, it's a shock to hear that. And I have had prayer warriors pray for me so hard. I've just had our whole parish. There's a group of nuns that pray, and I've had all of those people. They were praying for me, and I went through chemo I was like normal. There was nothing happened to me. And normally people don't go through chemo that easily. And also then radiation afterwards, it was like nothing was happening to me. I mean, God was so good to me. And
yes.
So you can't give up praying because it works. It does work. Sometimes it's always it's in God's time. It's not our time.
But so, just because we're coming up against, you want to comment on that, Father? Jesus certainly heals.
He does. And again, going back to this basic principle of the battle of prayer is that if I don't give up, we'll prevail. The Lord will prevail. And so we want to keep at it.
It's going to have to be really quick. Tony in Bonita, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. If you can state your question very quickly, we'll try to get you an answer.
Okay. Monsignor, you just told another caller something about that Mary grants grace, and I don't understand that. Can you please go into more detail?
Thank you. That's great.
Yeah, I don't know how much time we have to do that, but the quick answer is that Our Lady, in the kind of the privileged place that she has in the economy of salvation, is that she is, you know, a primary and among the saints to be able to, whereby the Lord's grace reaches us. And that's patterned upon the fact that she is the Theotokos, that she is the God-bearer, and that all the graces that come through our Lord, he dispenses through his mother.
Thank you. Monsignor John Syak has been our guest. Monsignor, may we have your blessing before we go?
Absolutely. Almighty Father, pour down your grace and blessing upon all our listeners. Lead them in the path of prayer closer to you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father mentioned, he recently, just in one of the recent calls, mentioned the book, The Catholic Guide to Depression. You can get that from Sophia Institute Press. Monsignor is one of the authors of that book. Coming up next, you ever ask a question, why should I believe the Bible? Or you ever have to answer that question? Somebody said to you, why should I believe the Bible? Joe Heschmeyer is here to answer that question in about, well, in a number of seconds. Your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884.